subject of Thanksgiving. It is November. I know we're still a few weeks away from actual Thanksgiving Day, and I think that's a problem we have as a community is once Halloween has passed, we jump straight to Christmas. Carissa wants to put the tree up so bad. After Thanksgiving.
I got a Thanksgiving tree already up.
We do. But we do have another holiday before we get to Christmas, and it's Thanksgiving. And so I'd like to take the next few weeks to talk about that, because 4 weeks from now, we start Advent. And that's a big thing for our little family, is the build-up to Christmas from Thanksgiving. But I want to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. You see, at our house, we do have a Thanksgiving tree up. And for those who don't know what a Thanksgiving tree is, it's something that I don't know that we invented it. But it is an idea that we come across and we've put it into action. November 1st, we have this cloth that has a tree drawn on it. And we have little paper cutout decorations. They go around it, birds and raccoons and dogs and what all, just for a nice fall decoration. But we put it up on a wall. And each day, we all take a paper leaf and we write one thing we're thankful for that day. And we tape it on this tree. And so by November 24th, whatever Thanksgiving Day is on, because it's different every year, it's the fourth Sunday of November. By then, there are four times that many days in our little household. Four times that many days, that many leaves. So it's nearly 100 leaves hanging on the wall of things to be thankful for. And you don't realize how blessed you are until you do something like that. And it's real easy when you first start. Oh, I'm thankful for God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for church. I'm thankful for my spouse and my children and my pets. And then the weird one pops up. I'm thankful for my job. Can't stand that place. I don't want to work. If I have to, and I find out that I'm thankful for it without thinking about it because it provides an income. It helps me put food on the table for my family. I'm thankful for my coworkers. I'm thankful for friends and for extended family. Then it gets tough. What else am I thankful for? Oh yeah, maybe I forgot the Bible. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Maybe I'm thankful I've got good working vehicles. I'm thankful for my house. You know, you start thinking about it, and as the days go on, it gets harder and harder. You really have to think about what you're thankful for. And then when you reflect on it, and you look back at it, and you're taking those leaves down and start putting up the Christmas decorations, you're reading each one of those leaves and what all everybody's been thankful for. And you may find out that somebody in your house has been thankful for something you didn't know they were thankful for. Oh, they're thankful for school. What? Are thankful for air, to live in the country, or to live in this country, or to live in this state. The rest of the country dogs Mississippi. We're a poor state. We have so few amenities. We're not great. Yeah, well, we also have the lowest cost of living. So, y'all stay where you're at and don't bring your high cost of living with you. Okay. We have open air instead of cities filled with smog. Even our biggest city isn't as dirty as the smallest city in some other states. We have God and friends and family. So we may not have a lot in the way of monetary value in this state, but we have a lot in the way of life value in this state. And so you get thankful for things like that when you really think about it. And so got me wondering, what does the Bible say about Thanksgiving? Because that's what season we're in, is a season of Thanksgiving. We've gone through another year, and we're coming to the end of that year. What are we thankful for? And one of the things that I found, David was writing a thanksgiving for victory in Psalm 118. And while he may have been talking specifically about some war victory, when you read the psalm, it's about the victory that God has provided. And y'all, we've received a part of that victory in Jesus Christ, and it's the most important part of the victory because it's the one that ended the war. You see, the battles are over. Salvation has come. And that is worth being thankful for. We have salvation in Christ Jesus. And that is worth being thankful for. If you aren't thankful for anything else, you can be thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made. And so David writes in Psalm 118, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." His love has no end. Jesus has promised us eternity with Him. Let Israel say, "His faithful love endures forever." Let the house of Aaron say, "His faithful love endures forever." Let those who fear the Lord say, "His faithful love endures forever." See, David's saying, let everybody say it because it's for everybody. God's faithful love endures forever. And we get to see that with Jesus Christ. It says, "I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord is my helper. Therefore I will look in triumph on those who hate me." David says it doesn't matter who opposes you, who comes up against you, who hollers at you, hates you, belittles you. You have God. Be thankful for God. It says it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humanity. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in nobles. He says not just the entire human race, but even those who think they're superior to everybody. God is better. It says, "All the nations surround me, and in the name of the Lord I destroyed them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I destroyed them. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord I destroyed them. They pushed me hard to make me fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." David is saying, no matter what battle you face, you have God. God will give you the strength to overcome those battles. And we know that's true because God gave us Jesus Christ to offer us salvation. He has become our salvation so that we can overcome any battle that we face in life, no matter what it is, from something as simple as a hard time at school learning a new subject, to a hard time at work learning a new policy, or to maybe the economy's gone down and you're without work and now you have to find a new job, or maybe you're having health issues and you're facing surgery or new medications or having to find a new doctor because yours retired. There's all sorts of battles in life that you're going to face. Trust in the Lord. He is our salvation. He will give us strength through those battles. And David continues. He says, "There are shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly." The Lord's right hand is raised. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. "I will not die, but I will live and proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord disciplined me severely, but did not give me over to death." You see, when you give your life to Christ, He's going to change you. See, God doesn't accept you as you are. He loves you as you are. He's going to change you to what you should be. What He's always wanted you to be. And so you're going to have hard times and discipline. But He won't give you over to death. Because once you give in to Him, He has already given you eternal life. This body may wither and grow old and die, but your soul will live forever because it is Christ. Then David pleads, "Open the gates of the righteousness for me. I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord. It is wondrous in our sight. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." He's talking about Christ Jesus being the cornerstone of the church that is His. Being the very thing that straightens the walls and the foundation of the church. You see, without Jesus, the church was in shambles. The temple was ran by men who were trying to make it and form it to their own ideologies. But Jesus straightened the walls. He tore the walls down and straightened the foundation and relayed the foundation with the apostles. In Revelation, it tells us that every foundation stone has the name of the apostles on it. And then He built it up. The walls and the rooms and the doors and all that are us. We are the church. We are built up on the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. And David was alluding to this 1,500 years before Jesus was born in Nazareth. He was telling us to give thanks to God for this event. For the refounding of the church through Jesus. Give thanks to God for that. Then he said, "Lord, save us," in verse 25. "Lord, save us. Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God and has given us life. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." He ended this song. That's what a psalm is. It's a song. It's a song of praise. He ended it the same way He started it. His faithful love endures forever. His love does not end. His love doesn't change. It's the same as it always has been, that He wants our salvation so that we can spend eternity with Him. He designed the Garden of Eden so that we could live forever with Him. It was humans that messed that up. He offered sacrificial rites so that we could atone for our sins and reconnect with Him. And humans messed that up. He sacrificed His Son on the cross, on Calvary. He said, all we have to do is say yes. Yes, I am yours. And humans messed that up. God has done everything throughout all history to offer a way to Him. And He made the final way, the only way to get there through Jesus Christ. And this world is trying its best to mess it up. But we have that to give thanks for. We have that to offer a praise to God that it is available to us and to all the people around us. And we shouldn't hoard that for ourselves, but share it with as many people as possible. You see, we're not just church members and churchgoers, but we're also disciples. And part of the job of a disciple is to evangelize and share the message of Christ. And to teach others that are around us, our children and our grandchildren, and our friends and our neighbors, of what it is to give our heart to Christ. Let's not mess that up, but let's give thanks that we have the opportunity to do that. There are so many countries in this world that don't allow you to even mention Christ because they fear Him. And we are so blessed to live in a country where we have the first right written for the explicit reason to speak openly. Let's not abuse that right. Let's not let it get taken away from us. But let's use it for the purpose of spreading the gospel of Christ. And let's give thanks for the ability to do so. And let's give thanks for everything God has provided. Because if I'm being honest, every leaf on that Thanksgiving tree should be marked God. Because my house, I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for God. My job, I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for God. My girls, I wouldn't have them if it wasn't for God. And I wouldn't have my wife if it wasn't for God. I wouldn't have all of you if it wasn't for God. God is the thing for me to be thankful for. God offered His Son for my salvation. So let's remember that as we go throughout Thanksgiving season, that it's God that we should thank for all things. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity to share Your message of Thanksgiving this morning, Lord. I ask that we remember it as we go through the next few weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, that its original purpose set forth by our first president in this country, Lord, was to give thanks for to You and no other. That while the rest of the world sees it as a state holiday, we know that it was originally planned as a religious holiday, and not just any religion, Lord, but a Christian holiday, to give thanks to our Creator and our Savior. And Lord, let us not forget that, but to carry that message with us as we go through this season and prepare for the next season, which is one of the best seasons of the year. Lord, I ask that You give us grace and strength to share the message of Thanksgiving with everybody that's around us, that You are what we have to be thankful for. If we have nothing else, we have You. And we are thankful for that. And I ask that You carry that message with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.